Last sermon, a lot of things have happened in this guy's life. There's been two graduations that we celebrated, my mother's to heaven and our youngest daughter Heidi's out of a business degree with a bachelor's. And so we've had some unique things, milestones, since last I stood before you to preach to you. In fact, some of the things that we've enjoyed were not just those graduations, but a trip that we'd longed for and looked forward to for a long time. Here's a picture that Greg took out of the Delta Airlines window over some place between here and Honduras. And here's a picture that Greg took of the place where we came to in Honduras. It's a bowl-shaped capital called Tegucigalpa. It's one of those horrendous airports where only the bravest dare to fly, and they actually have specially picked pilots who are willing to do it. And every time you land in there safely, the crowd erupts in the airplane saying, "Another day to live." And so we clapped along with them when we got there, and this place greeted us. It's a wonderful spot with some nice temperatures. And we spent some time out together overlooking the city and going through the country of Honduras a little bit. The first time, the only other time Ann and I were there was right before Karen's first little girl was born. And she, that is little Naomi, didn't get born until a day before we left. So we were kind of tethered to the house while Karen waited to give birth. So we didn't get much of the tourist experience. This time, both Naomi had already been born 2 years ago, and little Kelty was already born. So she and Aaron were free to roll out the red carpet. And boy, they treated us nice. And we got to look around at places. Here's the little girls that we got to see. Kelty, the little one, for the first time. You say, why did they call her Kelty? Good question. It's not because they're enamored with Irish jigs, you know, Celtic stuff. It's rather that they, especially Aaron, is a backpacker. He hiked the entire Appalachian Trail the year after his high school graduation by himself. And one of the backpack companies is called Kelty. So there you got it, Kelty. And there they are. We got to be with them for some nice times. Karen and Aaron down in Honduras. Here's us up above their house, just hiking one of the days that we were there. So that's what's happened in my life since last I stood here. And I want to thank you, Pastor Brian, for covering, especially December 24th, in the morning. That was a blessing, a great blessing to me to have that off my shoulders. Later this month, it's targeted for January 30th, there's going to be a gathering of people together in our capital. It's to accomplish something that our Constitution says should happen. It says this: the President, quote, shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. The founders of our country, the writers of our Constitution, felt that would be very good at least once in a while for there to be kind of a gathering together and a capsulizing of what has happened and where the country, the Union, is headed. The longest in terms of written words in the State of the Union was done by this president. You know who he is? Jimmy Carter, 33,667 words, they say. The longest spoken one, because you don't have to always do it in person. In fact, up until recent times when there was radio and television, it was always done by a letter sent to Congress. But the longest spoken one was this president. You know who he is? Yeah. 9,190 words. President William Jefferson Clinton. The first one was given by this guy. You know who he is? George Washington. Right. And some of you heard that. It was an amazing address. No, not really. Only 1,089 words in his State of the Union address. Well, I'd like to give you a State of Our Church address. January 7th, 2018. It's only 8 words. You say, hallelujah, we're out of here. Well, keep with me. Here they are. We are growing and changing as a church in healthy ways. We are growing and changing in healthy ways. What I'm about to say is my perspective on us as a church. And And I'm not going to be shy to say what I think and what I observe. I will not offend you, I don't believe, and at least that's not my intention. But on the other hand, I don't intend to, I intend to use this wisely. So if 8 words, there you got it. We are growing and changing in healthy ways. That's my analysis of the state of our church. And by the way, there's 36 more slides right after this one. So here we go. Growing and changing to and from what, you say? Growing and changing from and to what, you may ask? Good questions, valid questions, important questions, prayer topics. Here's some of my thoughts. We are growing and changing from a younger to an older lead pastor. I feel it sometimes more than others. That word lead is heavy on me. I want to lead you well. And especially in the last several years, I've felt that responsibility more keenly. And thank you for many of you who pray and encourage and support and challenge and counsel. Need it all. Iron sharpens iron, and I'm not afraid of it. But we're growing from a younger to an older. We're growing from an inexperienced to a more experienced assistant pastor. Do you know that a year and a half ago or so, Pastor Brian had never done any of this stuff other than in theory and in kind of a piecemeal. Now here he is, assistant pastor. Brian, you are doing a good job. You are becoming more experienced. I hope we've given you experiences that are challenging without crushing, that are helpful without hurtful. Thank you for serving here with us. We're growing and changing, and he is too. We're growing and changing from a Wednesday prayer sheet to an almost daily prayer email. Have you been on that list? If you're not, Mary Smith wants you on the list. She is doing a work of God to keep us together on prayer items. She's calling some of you and asking for updates on how you're doing. Don't blow her off. Don't shy away. How are we going to pray if we don't know? Some of us are shyer than others. I get that. But Mary Smith is the perfect, gentle servant of God to just weasel it out of us, to get what we need to know, to pray for each other. Thank you, Mary. We're growing and changing, I think, in the depth and the personalness of our praying together. Hallelujah. Let's keep that up. We're growing and changing from to larger to smaller Sunday AM numbers. Told you I wasn't going to hold back. I don't like this one, but it's true. In 2016, we averaged 154 in this setting, AM services. This past year, 2017, we averaged 145. In my calculations, that's the wrong direction. But I'm not here to preach to or about those who aren't here. I'm glad you're here. And God's going to use us. And we go through valleys and mountains, and we have. Let's stay faithful. Let's stay encouraged. Let's stay evangelistic. God's going to keep working. He's got a plan. He wants us to be a part of it. But we're growing. We're growing from a smaller to a larger small group numbers. Pastor Brian, you stumbled over it. There were 7 small groups that were meeting this past time, and we were averaging over 95 every Sunday night in our various 7 spots over the times of our small groups. That's a good thing. That's a spot where fellowship and relationship can blossom, and may it continue to do that. We are growing and changing from that people acrostic. I know I'm the only one that ever really liked it or even remembered it. But we're trying to develop some core values. And by the way, they're still 6 in number because they're the exact same thing that was represented by P-E-O-P-L-E, but just some fresh terms. Looking forward to introducing them to you today. So what's the state of the first of the 6 of those things, our core values? What's the state of our worship? Well, here's how it looks to me. Some things never change. John 4, the hour is coming and now is, the Bible says, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. That'll never change. The Father in heaven, in an incomprehensible way, longs for and looks for and is seeking, according to Jesus' own words, those who will come to him with spirit and truth. I take it to be this way, from the heart, spirit, with enthusiasm, and truth, not just our own opinions or our own preferences, but according to God's will. Rob just sang about, your perfect will. State of our worship ought to look like this, that we are coming to him in spirit and in truth. And indeed, I think we are. So as I've looked back in the recent past, the state of our worship in 2017, I used to call it P, praising God and worship. That was the first of the people acrostic. But we certainly have been and want to continue to communicate God's word humbly, boldly, clearly, passionately. God's word deserves that. And with God's help, we'll continue to do that. Whoever stands in a Sunday school spot or in a pulpit spot like this, that we will continue to worship God centered around truth, right? The word of God. I appreciate, I hope you do, the variety of special music that we enjoy here. You and I maybe cannot be the producers of that or the participants in it, but we sure can worship through it, can't we? And thank God for each one of you who have practiced to give your very best to the Lord. Our worship in 2017 involves that. Our worship in the last year involved this, becoming more comfortable and capable with worship team leadership and format. Yeah, it's been a stretch for me too, believe me. But it's been good. And we sing together with our heads up and with God as a center in great ways. And I thank you for your willingness to be led in that way. Our worship in spirit and truth has been reflected well in that way. By the way, there's been 13 musicians, and I had to update it right now because today we added a 14th. Joel was up here. Did you notice him? He had a little guitar. Well, not a little. He had a guitar up here, and he was playing along. First time ever with us. That's 14 with five guys that rotate back there in the sound system. Every single time we do that, there's more than just one person and an accompanist. It's the people of God with the gifts of God being allowed to serve God together with you. I think it's a great progress, and I think it's great growing and changing in the right direction for those reasons. Not that song leaders are wrong. I just did it today, right? And we'll go in that when we need to, but it's a wonderful thing to see others able to serve in that way. So our worship in 2017 has been growing and changing, and I've become more comfortable and hopefully more capable in this as well. Worship in 2017, adjusting to and appreciating the lower profile pulpit. Here it is. I didn't think I'd like this, and frankly, we're not sticking with this, by the way. But there was something freeing about just not a lot between us. The word of God, still here, always will be. But I'm just telling you the way I see it. I have appreciated this. Pastor Brian, he ragged me on this. I told him, no way. Then we had Bridget up here. And I don't know if you noticed, but Bridget is shorter than I am. And so Bridget, behind the pulpit, kind of looked like this. And so we just decided, let's serve Bridget. Let's let her be able to lead us without having to be hidden in that sense. And so we put this up here, and it works. The first time I did it, I thought, this is going to be crazy. And I like it. So there you go. I say, well, Pastor, when you came here, you liked that pulpit. Sure. I'm glad to have anything up here. I'm just telling you, this feels okay to me. There you go. What about 2018? 2018. How are we doing? Well, instead of just people, worship, we worship because what God says and does is central. That's key. Spirit and truth is unchanged and unchangeable. Our spirits can change, but truth never will. So we're going to be preaching the word of God. Malachi is slated for down the road here soon. Planning to give Pastor Brian added preaching opportunities. Want him to grow and mature and gain experience. How is he going to do it if I'm up here all the time? So we're working to share that in meaningful ways, not overburdening ways. We're looking forward to a young adult-led AM service from time to time, where those younger people who are gaining skills and who are being mentored can serve the Lord in ways that will sharpen them and use them. Looking forward to that in 2018. Possibly a concert on a new baby grand piano. That'll be fun. That'll be awesome. There's several in our midst who are going to be able to bang that thing for the glory of God. Not that this piano is bad. It's done its job. It's continuing to do its job until the funds get to the place where we're timing is right and the Lord's in it, and boom, someday you're going to come in and there's going to be this other instrument there for the glory of God. And for the next 30, 40 years, that one will do well. 2018, I'm not sure, but I suspect there's going to be a baby grand piano. Possible moving of our organ. It's nice to hear that this morning, wasn't it? That organ. Ann, you did a good job. Thanks for playing that. That song that we sang was perfect to use the organ on, the power of the cross, kind of that deep that an organ can give to it. So our worship in 2018 may involve some things with the organ as well. And yes, I suspect we're going to upgrade from a music stand up here. So what's the state of our loving each other? Worship. These are our core values. We're going to worship God. We're going to love each other. What is the state from this pastor's perspective? Here it is. Some things never change. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Verse 18, 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Yes, we say, I love you. Yes, we greet one another. But if it's just words without deeds, God's word says that's not the goal. That's not the end result of loving one another. So how did we do at loving each other in 2017? This may become more subjective, but here's how I see it. Loving others by serving is how we captured it under the people acrostic, the letter L. My, those We Care cards have been used by God, haven't they? Just got a note from my own father this week. Thankful for all of you who heard about his loss and registered your kindnesses to him. I would have brought it here today, but his writing is so bad I couldn't read it hardly, and I didn't want to stumble over it. No, he's a good writer. It's just that he, anyway, thank God for cards. Thank God for innovative email prayer lists that are stirring us in the early morning to be before the Lord for each other. Thank God for the blessing box that was introduced this year out there. Have you noticed the comings and goings of all the stuff that's in there? Maybe some of you, all unknowns to any, are just keeping that replenished. Keep it up. Who knows the kind of blessing that is. Thank God that we were able to show some love to others in our Newfield Old Home Days involvement this year. I think that was a great step. God is going to use that. We were able to provide student backpacks, and we heard in February now we want to bless the teachers as well. In 2017, I don't know if you knew this, but there's been some new greeter teams in the foyer that just make people feel noticed and loved and that we're aware of them and recognize that maybe they're new, and here we can help you figure out where to sit and where to go and where things are located. Thank you to those who behind the scenes are just being a friendly face, a loving face. Assisted living ministries go on over and over, week after week, in various locations, and God is going to use that. God is using that as we show love to others who can't get out and come to us, so we go to them. Care meal for Shirley and for Annie this past year. That was a blessing to be a part of that, wasn't it? In a time of desperate need, showing love to people who need that. Harvest Dinner Concert with military veterans honored this year. That was a chance to just love on people. It was such a joy to see Jerry over there with little Wilson on his leg. And he had an amputation, by the way, if you don't know Jerry. Amputation, Wilson is the replacement leg. And he was here for that. That was a good deal, wasn't it? Hope he can do that again in 2018. Deacon Care Fund. Behind the scenes, many of you contribute to that in quiet ways. It builds up. We find needs. We respond to them without trumpeting it. And that's been the case in 2017. Second Wind Cottage work crews. All of these things come to my mind when I think of loving others in 2017. But what about 2018? What could it look like there? Here's how we could say it. Because save people, serve people. That's why we love others. Saved people, you and me who have trusted Christ, now serve others who have yet to trust him. IPC boomerang bottles are coming around, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that. Looking forward to that and a chance to just use our money to put our money where our mouth is for the pregnancy center ministries. care meal for Roy Johnson. Just kind of get that on your radar. We've heard some news. Roy passed away. He's a man well-loved and respected in our community, but without a lot of resources now that he's gone to support his family. Maybe we can be a piece of what God's doing in that family's life. Care meal, keep your ears peeled on that one. Outreach committee initiatives that God will stir up and bring to our attention. I'm looking forward to that. Definitely more focus on our community. If there be anything in 2018, God help us. Lord, help us to care more, really care more about others here. More focus on our communities. What's the state of our fellowship together here? Good question. Here's how it sounded like. In the Bible, Acts, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. And look at this, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in four things: apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Those were kind of the key ingredients, the non-negotiables of that early church gatherings, and fellowship was a part of that. So fellowship in 2017, promoting unity through fellowship, we called it. Here's what it came to mind: Monday a.m. staff meetings. Did you know that almost every Monday I come up to the principal's office over here, Pastor Brian's office, and sit in there? No, not really. We talk together Monday mornings. We pray together. We think together. We've read books together. We've grown in fellowship with one another. Now, there's some craziness in that man's life. Just yesterday, he ran a half marathon in negative degree weather. I mean, there's a limit to what any man should be doing. But hallelujah, he survived, and Dan Hubbard with him too. And anyway, I respect him, just think he's crazy. But anyway, we're becoming fellowship partners here, and I think he's starting to understand me and all my idiosyncrasies, and he's pretty easy to love. And so it's been good. Fellowship in 2017 has been good on that level. I hope you sense a respect for each other and a love for one another, because it's genuine. Tuesday AMs, I don't know if you know this, but the deacons have been getting up early before their work days and coming down in the same room. We've been praying together for half an hour or so and just seeking God's blessing on this church and those we have yet to reach. Tuesday and Thursday quilting. What an opportunity. Some of you are using that for fellowship. And thank you, Mary, for always bringing people to the Word of God there. I know they pray there together as well. That's a good thing. Weekly small groups. What great venues for fellowship. Not just the hi, how are you kind of fellowship, but the hi, how are you kind of fellowship. Summer Pursue gatherings were part of 2017, where we kept going through the summer months with teen gatherings. Raising Generations Today, and by the way, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right over here, on schedule again for January's first go-round for women, Raising Generations Today. Thank God for raising up Mindy and a heart, seeing a need, and saying, I'll be a part of answering that. Fellowship in 2017. Men's breakfast. Did you know that on Wednesdays, a bunch of guys are getting together and eating breakfast together? If you want to be in on that, see Bruce Boyle. He's picked up the mantle there, and it's every other Wednesday. First and third Wednesday, excuse me. So see Bruce. He would love to get you on the list and invite you to come down. Pay your own way, though. Pay your own way. Summer biweekly bonfires, those are always fun, and we've been doing that. So what will fellowship look like in 2018? Here's how I would capture it, because life is better connected. That's why we fellowship. Life is better when you're not alone. Just this week, we got to pray for one of our own where loneliness is a factor. So God help us in this new year to look for ways to be together. Baptism and membership class starts next Sunday. Some of you ought to be a part of that. You've been here for a while. There's no obligation, but why don't you come and find out what the picture looks like for becoming a member, being baptized if you haven't been. And commit yourself. Get beyond just attendance to that level. Next Sunday, 9:15, small group involvement. Some of you need to get involved with that beginning next Sunday night, particularly at 6 p.m., just encourage every single one of you. Goodness, if we've been averaging 145 here, let's see if we can average over 100 in our small groups at night. Let's not let it peter out. Let's reemphasize that in our hearts, fellowship. I hope you'd consider giving and accepting hospitality invitations in this new year. Some of you have got beautiful houses. Some of you are great cooks. Some of you could just line up a time where you're going to meet down at, where's the good place? Purity Ice Cream for dessert sometime and just get together with a family member who you don't know yet, an individual. Fellowship in 2018. We're moving along. State of our equipping disciples. The Bible says it this way, there, that is pastors and teachers' responsibility, is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And I take that seriously, more so now, I think, than ever, to equip people for ministry. And then to all of us, it says this, the things that you have heard, the same, commit these to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. It's kind of like the relay race of Christianity, passing on what I've been taught to the next generation, to the next person. You may be younger than that person, but maybe they've been less in the family of God for time-wise. In 2017, it looked like this. Pastors, both of us are mentoring individuals privately and individually. The class called Stepping Up was one that I had the privilege of leading during the summer months. Oh, how I prayed for that, that God would use it in your life, men, that many of you would be stirred to step up at home and at work and at church and in your marriages as well. The ministry training class was kind of a follow-up to that, going down more to in-church ministry. And then the deacon training class was important. And Iron Men, we've been 4 years at it now, and we're into our fifth year. And then if you'd like to be a part of that, see Dan Hubbard or Chris Holly or Devin Babcock or myself. We're the four amigos that are kind of working together and wanting to be a blessing to you men. Discipleship, equipping each other through discipleship. What's it going to look like in 2018? Well, we ought to do it because everyone needs to take the next step. We'd be very scared for you if you just, or you'd be scared for me if I stopped taking any steps, if I just froze where I am. And some of us maybe have frozen where we are spiritually. We need to take a small step, a step forward in following the Lord. Here's some ideas. Biblical Counseling Training Conference. 9 of us are headed out. Raise your hand if you're planning to go to that. You're signing up with that. Okay, look around. Pray for these folks that God would utilize this to help them to be better disciplers here or in Paraguay. Awesome. Let's, in 2018, continue to develop 1 Timothy 3, servant-hearted men and their wives. There's a lot in that. Just leave it at that. That's part of my heart as your pastor to see that developed even more. Growing Kids God's Way. How many in this auditorium have gone through that class at one time or another? Growing Kids God's Way. There may be a need for that in 2018 to bring that up again. It's a fantastic but intense parenting discipleship class. And then here's one that's on my heart. Divorce Care, Biblical Teaching and Support Group. We'll see if that's in God's plans or if that was just my idea. But I've got a heart for that personally. What's the state of our evangelism? 2 more. You with me still? I'm starting to sound like those other presidents with a lot of words. State of our evangelism. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Oh, how we need the Spirit's power. Not just mental or men's schemes. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me, Jesus, everywhere, Jerusalem, throughout all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's the mandate. That's the marching orders. Never change. That's the truth that needs to be followed by Spirit. State of our evangelism. And evangelism in 2017, do you remember that message on 1 Corinthians 9 about all things to all men? And the biblical challenge that it comes from that. That's pivotal. I hope it was helpful. It was intense. It was challenging. It shook the boat in my heart as well as yours as well. Here's the question. Do our traditions help or hinder 21st century gospel outreach? Let's just talk for a moment here. The longer you and I are together and in the same group, the more comfortable we get, the more habits we develop. Nothing wrong with comfortableness and habits. Unless they get to the place or drift in the direction of an exclusive club. And it's possible for churches to become or have that feel about them. There's code words that you got to be around before you figure out. There's unwritten rules that are there that hardly anybody knows except for those who have been around for a while. Those happen naturally over time. There's nothing typically wrong with them to start with until they become, in their rules and their ritual format, more important than relationships. And then they become like the Pharisees, traditions of the elders, traditions of man rather than of Christ. We've got to be careful. And that book, at least in my world, caused me to think about how I may sound or look to somebody who hasn't been in Christ for as long as I have. And so I think that was important for us as a church, and I hope for you as an individual as well, to be willing to have our traditions examined in light of the Bible and the light of our culture as well. Inside the Bible, but sometimes outside the box. That's where we learned. Our purpose is to make more quantity and better quality disciples. In 2018, it looks like this, because found people find people. And so our purpose is to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ in 2018. That hasn't changed, but maybe it's becoming clearer as to one of our central focuses. Our goal is that first every person in Newfield have opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel. Easy to give my money toward missions, and rightly so. Harder to be involved in the lives of people so that they hear about Christ. That's what we need to prioritize, I believe, in 2018. And then the world beyond. Not to the exclusion of that, but even Christ put a priority on in Jerusalem first. And our plan is to serve others sacrificially and to speak truth boldly. The gospel comes, I think, more winsomely when we have a servant's heart. And so we earn the right, so to speak, to speak. What's the state of our stewardship? That's the last one. 2 Corinthians says this, but as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace, the grace of giving also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Paul goes on, 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And some of you could stand to your feet right now and give testimony to the fact that when you gave as the Lord prompted you and as you had ability to, and maybe even beyond what you thought you had ability, God took care of you. Great testimonies. Stewardship in 2017, overseeing assets as stewards is how we called it. I hope you were benefited, some of you who took it from that Financial Peace University. God helped you to think biblically about your bucks. Bathroom, cloakroom, foyer upgrades. Wasn't that a nice addition? Just a comfortable and more accessible development in our physical plant here. Media center streamlining. Man, Terry Little has just done a yeoman's work in there, just going through the resources, recognizing that, hey, this book hasn't been checked out for, you know, a decade, and therefore it's kind of obvious that it's not being used. And she's gone through the books and very carefully, I think, and wisely pared them down. We've been able to see those books go into the hands of another local church over in Straits Corners, and they're utilizing them to the best of their ability there, so they're not being lost to the kingdom of God's sake, but we're just reckoning with what the realities are here. What's 2018 going to look like in terms of stewardship? We're stewards because he gave, we're going to give. That's the heart of a steward. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's God's word to stewards. And so the state of our church. I'm down to three more slides. We are growing and changing in healthy ways. I hope, at least that's how I see it. I hope you see it the same way. More important than how I see it or you see it, I trust that's how you see it, Father, that you are working through your Spirit and by your word and through your people to cause us to change and grow and to do it in healthy ways. As you leave this morning, and by the way, I'm not going to go to the back today, not because I don't want to see you, but because I got a cold and I don't want to give it to you. So thank God for helping me get through this. But I've asked our deacons, Mike and Brian and Nick, to come, and we've worked on something that I hope will be a great tool for you and me as a congregation. I'm not sure how to split that up exactly, but as they're passing this out, and every single one of you, there's enough for every single one of you, young or old, rich or poor, male or female, member or non-member, you're welcome to have this. In the midst of transition, this is a sincere desire to hear how you perceive our church. You've just heard how I perceive our church. I'd like to hear how you perceive our church. This is a survey developed by your pastors with feedback from your deacons and your trustees in an attempt to be user-friendly and to be meaningful. It has three parts to it. As you get it, you'll notice it's stapled in the upper left corner. There's a white sheet, there is a yellow sheet, and there is a gold sheet. That's it. The first one is present strengths and weaknesses. The second is our purpose, goal, plan, and core value statements. And the third one is about needs around us. There are three parts to this survey. There are three phases to what this survey is intended to accomplish. And so if you're still listening to me, here's the first, a survey. Please return it by February 4th. Does that give you enough time to look it over and think it through and mark it down? There's a beautiful little white basket in the back foyer. It's going to be there for the next three Sundays, and you're welcome three or four Sundays to put that a copy in there when you're done. There's going to be ministry evaluations that will go on in conjunction with and beyond this survey. By ministry evaluations, we just mean looking at the facts, the numbers of people that are attending, the numbers that are serving, the number of hours that are being putting in, the amount of finances that are going into it, the fruit. That's the harder one to register sometimes. But what are the results? Are they good and lasting? We're going to try to evaluate ourselves here. And then roll this all together by God's grace into a strategic plan. And listen, folks, strategic plan kind of to some people sounds like, oh, we're just turning into a business. No, it's just planning. It's just planning. It's what James said. You're going to go to this city and do this and that if the Lord wills. We're going to try to, by God's grace, go together in continuing directions as the Lord allows. So three parts, three phases, one purpose. Last slide. To glorify God by making more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. I hope that God will stir your hearts and they'll continue to direct our steps as a congregation in these days ahead, that 2018 might be the most fruitful, most God-glorifying year that we've had in a while. And may God continue to give us unity as we seek His Word and His will by His Spirit together with each other. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Remember, I'm not going to go to the back this time. Not because I don't like you, but because I like you. I don't want to give you what I got. Lord in heaven, thanks for letting me be here. Thank you for letting me be a shepherd, an under-shepherd. Thanks for all that we've been able to share together this morning. This has been a kind of unique service. Some things never change, but thank you that you're in the process of changing and growing us, individually and as a church. Lord, it's been a joy to look backwards for me. And it's even more joyful to look forward because I know that you're walking right ahead of us. Help us to be right in step with you and with each other. In Jesus' name, amen.